Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Hello and welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Today we are going to be diving headfirst into the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's magnum opus, his greatest book that explains all the foundational truths of God's Word. We have an audio clip from the author himself. Here is what Mr. Armstrong said in a presentation of Mystery of the Ages to the Fundamentals of Theology class at Ambassador College in 1985.
When the Bible speaks, that is God speaking, not a man. Now, it's true, Moses wrote the first five books, but it wasn't really Moses writing it. God was having him write it, and it was God writing it, but that was really inspired. And then when we come to prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then when we come to the New Testament books, God inspired them. They are the infallible words of God. This book is not. I don't make any such claim for this book whatsoever. But I think in a way God inspired it, but not in the sense that it is the Word of God. It says God inspired Herbert Armstrong. And I tried to yield myself to him, and I hope I was able to yield myself, if not 100%, 97, 98, 99%. The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order, or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible. The synopsis. It doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it, and I hope more than any other book you've ever read except the Bible. And perhaps, in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done? This book is out now. Today's a pretty big day in my life, when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
That's just about the best advertisement you could possibly have for Mystery of the Ages. I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll get right into the book. On page 11 of the author's statement of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "I was determined to find absolute proof of the existence of God and of the authority of the Bible, or to reject both. Most people, I realized, accept or reject a belief on careless assumption due to whatever they have heard, been taught, or assumed without proof. I wanted to understand, and I wanted to be sure on positive proof, not on careless assumption or wishful thinking. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed to me with proof that was positive and absolute. No longer was the existence of God taken carelessly for granted because I had always heard it or been taught it. I found absolute and positive proof of the existence of the supreme creator God, and also of the absolute authority of the Holy Bible as the Word of God, the revealed message and knowledge of God for mankind. I found the Bible to be a coded book with answers to the paramount mysteries confronting all humanity. This is a long quote, but a very effective one. And here Mr. Armstrong addresses the problem that actually annoys me most on a daily basis: mankind's careless acceptance of its beliefs without searching for any proof. It seems like this is in the news every day. As we will learn in chapter 2 of this book, Satan the devil is mainly to blame for this. Only a few thousand people on earth today have full access to God's truth in every area: religion, morality, family, society, education, culture, politics, economy, industry, technology, science, international relations, and prophecy. You name it, and the Philadelphia Church of God has the truth about it. Even though the vast majority of mankind is not a part of the PCG, shouldn't more people try harder to prove what they believe? How do murderous ideologies such as socialism and communism ever take root? How does the completely insane, unprovable, godlessly irrational faith of evolution ever gain mass acceptance? I have yet to hear a single logical explanation in favor of these belief systems. The popular trend today is to insult and slander those who disagree with you, despite a complete inability to articulate your own viewpoints. Now, by contrast, Mr. Armstrong dug deep to find the truth. He explored relentlessly until he proved beyond all doubt what is true and what is false. Once you prove something as thoroughly as Mr. Armstrong did, it is unnecessary to ever rethink or relitigate the proof. Truth is truth. It never changes. Again, this is a pretty big problem in society today. There are millions of people who believe that there is no absolute truth. There are people who think that definitions can change. Just last night on TV, I saw a commercial with the definition for masculine. And a lot of men were reading the definition and voicing their discontent with the definition. Then they started to give their own definitions. Masculinity to me is blah, blah, blah. Well, that doesn't really matter because the definition is in the dictionary and it is what it is. You can't just change it because you feel like it. I can't get an F on a test in school and then decide that the definition of F should actually be the definition of what A is. I can't get an A just because I feel like it, even though my work was an F. I might want to change the definition, but I would still be wrong. And that is what we have to deal with today. It's very hard to even find the truth because people are talking about my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth, their truth, our truth. There's 100 million different types of people's individual truths now, I guess. So how do you wade through all of that and find the real truth? On page 12 of the author's statement of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Vistas of knowledge and understanding that have remained the chief mysteries of life to most people were open to my astonished eyes and mind. But it is recorded in that book that in these very days in which our generation lives, the great mystery would be cleared. And indeed, it was to my astonished mind. I learned that the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle, thousands of pieces that need putting together, and the pieces will fit together in only one way. Then the picture becomes crystal clear to the one willing to believe what God our Creator says. This present book merely puts the many pieces of the great puzzle together so they can be clearly understood. As you read and reread this book, compare constantly with your own Bible. See these truths with your own eyes in your own Bible, and open your mind to God's leading you into His truth as you do. It will make a lot of sense, as nothing ever did before. Time may prove this to be the most important book written in almost 1900 years. Again, some of that is from the audio clip earlier, but it's definitely worth repeating and expounding upon. This is the second most important book to the Bible ever written. I encourage you to go back and listen to my Trumpet Bookshelf episodes about Mr. Armstrong's booklets, Does God Exist? And The Proof of the Bible, if you haven't already. Study those booklets and you will understand why the Bible is the most important book ever written. Once that fact is established, it is easy to understand the importance of Mystery of the Ages, the book that puts together the pieces of the Bible puzzle. The Bible is an end-time book. Repeatedly, the Bible says that much of its contents won't be understood until just before Christ returns. Mystery of the Ages is the key that unlocks the Bible's seven most crucial mysteries. In the introduction to Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes about the paradox of awesome human progress and appalling human degeneration. He actually blames the world's religions. On page 7, now this is getting past the Roman numerals, this is the actual page 7 of the book, it says, "What is religion? It is defined as the worship of and service to God or the supernatural. It is man's relation to his creator. Some religions have perverted that definition. They worship not the God who created them, but gods which they have created. Religion involves one's conduct, one's principles, one's way of life, and one's concept of the hereafter." This is a classic definition of religion. Notice that Mr. Armstrong talks about conduct, principles, and a way of life. The so-called religious in the world maybe attend a short church service once a week, but whatever they heard there has no impact on the rest of their lives. In fact, some of the most corrupt, perverted, and hypocritical people I've ever met actually called themselves religious. They had no fruits to show from their beliefs. The seven mysteries uncovered by Mystery of the Ages are the remedy to this world of religious confusion. God always delivers His truth through one man. Mr. Armstrong fulfilled the prophecy in Malachi 3, verse 1, which reads, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts." Mr. Armstrong came and prepared the way before Christ's second coming. This is something that you can prove, but we won't go into it right now on this short program. On page 10 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "The world is full of religions that originated in the imagination, reasoning, and speculating of certain humans. But they had no true basis to reason from. The truth is revealed from God." As Mr. Armstrong points out, human beings can't conceive facts out of nothing. We are informed exclusively by the world around us. God lived for an eternity before anything else even existed. He made all things through His companion, the Word, who later became Jesus Christ. Since God formed and fashioned our world, He gets to decide what is truth. Humans have no right to call truth a relative concept or a social construct. We have no right to invent our own religions apart from God's divine inspiration and revelation. Only God can put us on the path to truth. Throughout the rest of the introduction to Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong describes his miraculous calling by God. This is definitely worth reading. We won't go into detail here, except to mention how his religious training was vastly different from anyone else's. He entered into his in-depth study of the Bible with the goal of disproving what the Bible states, but God forced him to acknowledge the truth. Others who study the Bible may be intent on disproving it, but they never get humbled like Mr. Armstrong did. There are still others who may study a preconceived set of beliefs, whether Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Pentecostal, or whatever else. Rather than starting with a clean slate, these religious scholars are taught what to believe. They don't prove it for themselves. I'm Grant Turgeon. You're listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. We'll be right back.
In the summer of 1926, Herbert W. Armstrong asked himself, "Who am I? What am I? Why am I?" He tried to reason out the answer, but he couldn't. It was a mystery. Not long after that, he was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on the theory of evolution and the question of Sunday observance. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed with proof that was positive and absolute. These answers and many more are thoroughly explained in Mystery of the Ages, which is available to you at no cost or obligation. Time has proven Mystery of the Ages to be the most important book written in nearly 1,900 years. This world's humanity has been blinded to who, what, and why man is, how man appeared on Earth. Man has been mystified by his inability to solve his problems or find answers to the perplexing questions of mankind and the world he inhabits. All these mysteries were long ago revealed by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message, not allowed to be revealed and decoded until our time. In Mystery of the Ages, these great mysteries of life are thoroughly explained in vivid detail. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
Welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Today we have been covering Herbert W. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages. Chapter 1 is titled, Who and What is God? On page 25, Mr. Armstrong writes, "In this chapter, I hope we will help make God as real to you as your own human father. We can see our physical fathers, but we can't see God. That seems to be a problem for most people. If we can't see God, how do we know he exists? In my program about Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Does God Exist?, I explained how the creation we see all around us on Earth and in the universe is proof of God. In my program about Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Proof of the Bible, I showed that fulfilled prophecy reveals the Bible as the inspired word of God. All the proof we need is right in front of us. We just have to be willing to believe it." Mr. Armstrong spends the first 6 pages or so of the first chapter explaining why most people don't understand who and what God is. The world is cut off from God as a result of Adam choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Mankind has gone its own way, apart from God, ever since. Pagan customs have been passed down through the generations. Add to that each human's natural hostility toward God, as brought out in Romans 8 verse 7, and it should come as no shock that the vast majority of people have no clue who and what God is. God is the creator of the entire vast universe. That is God's profession, just as sure as I'm a radio host and Gino Chi is the show's producer. God is a professional, perfect creator. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." On page 33 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, long before anything else existed, there did exist two supreme beings, immortal, who always had existed. Your mind can't quite conceive that always, but neither can it quite conceive of what is electricity. Yet you know electricity exists and is real. So there was God, and there was the Word, and there was nothing else. Yet both of them were God, as John 1 verse 1 says. God and the Word are and were both gods. God created all things by issuing commands to the Word, who then carried out those commands in perfect obedience. For proof, combine Genesis 1 verse 1 and Ephesians 3 verse 9. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was the power that the Word used to turn God's plans into reality. It is not the third being of the Trinity. The Word had not yet been born as the flesh and blood Jesus Christ at the time of earth's renewal. He was still the Word or spokesman of the God kingdom. He carried out God's plan of creation simply by speaking, as Psalm 33 verse 9 points out. The Word took on a different form during the time of the patriarch Abraham. Hebrews 7 shows that Abraham paid tithes to a king of Jerusalem named Melchizedek, a being without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. That's verse 3. On page 32 of the book, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Since Melchizedek was like unto the Son of God, and abides as high priest forever continually, and Jesus Christ is now high priest, Melchizedek and Jesus Christ are one and the same person. The two eternal God beings are composed of invisible spirit matter, as John 4 verse 24 says. They created humans to look like them, Genesis 1 verse 26. While on earth, Christ said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," John 14 verse 9. We look like God. God looks like us. However, they are also brilliantly bright and dazzling, which we are not. Revelation 1 verses 14 through 16. Mr. Armstrong writes on page 37 of Mystery of the Ages, "The character of both God the Father and Christ the Son is that of spiritual holiness, righteousness, and absolute perfection." That character might be summed up in the one word love, defined as an outflowing, loving concern. It is the way of giving, serving, helping, sharing, not the get way. It is the way devoid of coveting, lust and greed, vanity and selfishness, competition, strife, violence and destruction, envy and jealousy, resentment and bitterness. God's inherent nature is the way of peace, of justice, mercy, happiness, and joy, radiating outward toward those he has created. God's beautiful, peaceful way of life became his law. His law is love. The first four of the Ten Commandments outline our first priority, love toward God. The last six commandments elaborate on our second priority, love toward neighbor or toward other human beings. By loving God and loving others, we actually love ourselves too. To close chapter one, Mr. Armstrong thoroughly disproves the Trinity doctrine. This belief is Satan's attempt to undermine our understanding that God is a family. The Trinity limits God to three beings. Christ's gospel message makes plain that God is opening his family up to human beings who can receive his Holy Spirit, become converted members of the Philadelphia Church of God, and be born as spirit beings when Christ returns. The rest of mankind that doesn't obey God now will still have an opportunity to enter the God family in the future. That's a much more hopeful message than you'll hear from traditional Christianity. They believe that now is the only day of salvation, and if you do not accept Christ today, you will burn in hellfire for all eternity. That's not true. You will either accept living in God's family forever, or you'll just be put out of your misery. You will not be tortured for all eternity. That's a much better outcome. With that, we have given a teaser, a brief summary of the introduction and the first chapter of Herbert W. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages. You can request a physical copy of this book or start reading it online right now at thetrumpet.com. Next time, we will cover chapters 2 and 3. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.